In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As you heard today, the scripture again, as I mentioned last week, we talk about fear. And last week, the archangel Gabriel was talking to Zacharias, telling him not to be afraid. And he heard the same message today, do not be afraid. And last week I talked about the fear of the future. And I would like to continue the series of discussion about the fear of failure this time. And then we will talk about the fear of rejection, the fear of death, and of course, the most important, the fear of God Himself. And you may wonder and say, maybe the topic about fear of failure is not something that I should worry about. I am a successful person at work, at home. But really, if you think about this, there are so many fears that we always, all of us have in our heart. We could be afraid to fail as a parent. You could be afraid to fail as a person who had a professional career. Or you could be afraid to fail as a Christian. So the question is, how can you overcome these different types of failure? And how can you face your fear of failure? Last time I talked to you about four different points to face the fear of the future. For example, we said you should not worry about being unfaithful because of your Lord, and we read from the book of Matthew the verse that says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So we were talking about this one in more detail. The second point, that is, worry is unnecessary because of your Father. And that's why you pray, our Father who art in heaven. So you are not like the Gentiles who do not have a father, meaning those who do not believe in God. So you have a Father who taught you when you pray, ask from the Father Himself. And the third point, we mentioned that we should not worry because you have the faith. You don't have to worry because God is the one who takes care of you. It says here in the book of Matthew, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all the things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You have the faith and the belief that God will take care of you. And the last one was, worrying or fear is unwise because of your future. And he said in the book of Matthew again, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Same way as I talked about 4 points for facing the fear of the future, I will talk to you about 4 points for facing the fear of failure. Number one, most important, is to know and to remember that everyone fails. Do not believe it that anyone who will tell you that I am not failing or did not fail at some point of my life. It is not true. So don't let anyone put you down and tell you that he or she did not fail and you are a failure. Absolutely not. And I'm going to use the Bible to prove it to you from many different ways. And I was reading a study that shows, a statistical study here in the U.S. that says everybody, almost 100%, 100% of human beings, they always fail, which agrees with the Bible that says no one is perfect. But I will start from the very beginning, from the book of Genesis and Exodus. We will read just a scripture about Moses. In Exodus chapter 2, I want to show you that how much Moses failed. It says here, now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? Then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? So Moses feared and said, surely the thing is known When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian as he sat down by a well. He feared, he was afraid, he ran away, and he felt like he had to face his failure by himself. Also, St. James said that all of us can stumble in one point or another. We can face failure. In James chapter 3, it says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." I doubt that anyone was so perfect that he cannot hold his tongue from committing a sin. And that's what happened. Though, for example, the righteous man falls 7 times, we know that he rises again. As said in the book of Proverbs chapter 24, "For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity." So even righteous men can fall. So do not let anyone deceive you that they are not failing and they try to put you down because of something wrong that you did. As human beings, we all have our failures. Thank God that the Bible talks about failure of the hero of the Bible, the saints of the Bible, the patriarch of the Bible. We are not afraid to mention that David committed a sin of adultery and killing the Uriah al-Hithi, the husband of Bathsheba. We are not afraid to mention that. We are not afraid to mention that Abraham was also afraid when he went to Egypt and he denied and did not tell that his wife Sarah was his wife. He said, "She is my sister." We are not afraid to mention that he hid, that he was afraid, and he lied because of his fear. That's the beauty of the Bible. It is not a weak point in the Bible. As a matter of fact, it's such a very strong point. If you read the Bible, all of them are so righteous, all of them are so perfect, and you did not hear about anything wrong they did. That means there is no chance for any one of us. Absolutely not. You will try the best you can. There is no way for you to get to heaven. But thank God the Bible did mention all the mistakes that our forefathers committed. Number two, realize that failure is not final. It's not the end of your life, not the end of your story. As you know, Moses was once a prince. Now he is a shepherd. He was once a famous and now he is forgotten. His life once was full of promises. Now his life seemed like destined to end in failure. He ran away, he had no place to go. And after he was a prince, he became like taking care of Jethro and his sheep. And now, where is my big stature? Where am I now from what I was before? But look at this. Moses' failure was not final. And again, I'm going to read to you from the book of Exodus chapter 3 this time, and show you how successful he was afterwards. "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. And when he saw the fire, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn?' So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground.' Moreover, he said, 'I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. He was afraid to face his problem and his failure and ran out of the Hebrews to the Midian. Now God is using him and sending him to lead his people out of the land of the bondage, the Egyptians. Look at this. To fail once or twice or even seven times or 77 times, meaning a complete number. When Peter asked God, if my brother sinned against me seven times, should I forgive him? He said, if it is even 70 times 7. So if you take it literally 490, it's not 8, it's 7 times 7 times 10. Perfect numbers, meaning to the end. If your brother commits a sin against you, you forgive. Same way, if you fail once or twice or the rest of your life, it doesn't matter, because God will be with you. Let me read something for you from the history. I will make it like a puzzle, and you tell me who is that person whom I will read his story, very quick and very brief. He said, when I was 7 years old, my family was forced out of our home because of a legal technicality. I had to work to help support my family. At age 9, while still a backwards, shy little boy, my mother died. At age 22, I lost my job as a store clerk. I wanted to go to the law school, but my education wasn't good enough. At age 23, I went into debt to become a partner in a small store. 3 years later, my partner died, leaving me a huge debt, which took years to repay. At age 28, after developing a romantic relationship with a young lady for 4 years, I asked her to marry me. She said no. At 37, on my third try, I was finally elected to the United States Congress. 2 years later, I ran again and failed to be re-elected. I had a nervous breakdown at that time. At age 41, adding additional heartache to an already unhappy marriage, my 4-year-old son died. The next year, I ran for land officer and lost. At 45, I ran for the Senate and lost. A few years later, I ran for the vice presidency and lost. At 49, I ran for the Senate again and lost. And at 51, I was elected President of the United States. Who am I? Who is that? History question. Abraham Lincoln. It's Lincoln's life that was continuous failure, but look at this. He kept on going and became probably the greatest president in American history. Why? Because he realized that his failure is not final. You know that for foreigners, when we take the exams for the immigration and naturalization, we study history. So I thought to check with you if you guys remember the history. So Abraham Lincoln was such a great president. And look at this, a sequence of his life is all failure. He did not stop. He was the greatest president that I know of, at least from my reading in history. So the failure in your life should not ever stop you from anything. As a matter of fact, that brings the point number 3, that you should recognize the benefits of failure. Benefits of failure, yes. You ought to know there are benefits, there are lessons that you learn from failure, from any test, from any tribulation, from any hard time that you go through. Give you a verse here from the book of Romans chapter 8. St. Paul said, and we know, confirmation here that we know, that all things, all of them, that means including failure, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. All things. He did not make an exception. When he says all, it means includes failure. Please do not exclude failure or even sin out of this list. anything will work for good for those who love God, no matter what it is. Nothing will put you down. You are the only one who can put himself down. No one can. You have the power because you have the Lord himself inside you. But you are the one who can put himself down or put himself up. That's the key. Give you another story in engineering a little bit to show you that failure can teach us so much. You know who discovered electricity? I'm testing you today, lots of tests. Thomas Edison. Look what he said. I have a quote from him. He said he had 10,000 failures before he learned the right filament for the light bulb. Just a light bulb that had the filament in it. It took him 10,000 times. He failed 10,000 times until he came up with this right one. Imagine if you do it for once or twice, you would give up quickly. He did not. That's how we learn from our failure. He also said he did not call it a failure. He called it an education, a learning experience. And he said, I know 10,000 things now that do not work. So he did not look at the 10,000 failures to be 10,000 failures. He took it as experience. Now I know 10,000 things that do not work. There are some lessons that we can learn only through failure. So failure can make us less judgmental. We will not jump to conclusion at anyone who failed because, and we start list some mistakes or bad things about that person. If I go through failure now, I can understand somebody else who could have a reason for failure. The fourth and the last point, always replace your fear with the faith in God. Go back to the story of Moses. I'm going to show you different excuses that Moses made. So I will make it like in a sort of dialogue, what Moses said and what God said. So Moses said, I am nobody, who am I? In verse 11, okay, in chapter 3. So God said, it doesn't matter whom you are, I will be with you. Don't think, who am I? Remember that God says, I will be with you. Moses said, well, I am not smart enough, I don't even know your name, what shall I tell them? In verse 13. So God said, I am who I am. I am who I am means Yahweh, which is the right pronunciation, unfortunately translated in English into Jehovah. The right in Hebrew, in Greek, in Arabic, in all languages is Yahweh. That's the right way, which is derived from that word meaning I am, meaning I am not changing. I am always the same God. I do not change. I am what I am. I am whom I am. So you will trust me that I will never ever change and turn my face against you. So Moses come back and said, I am not talented enough. I don't have the leadership skills to do the job. And he said that clearly in chapter 4 when he said, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? So God said, no, don't worry. I will give you miraculous signs. And he gave him like the signs in the book of Exodus chapter 4. And he changed his staff into a snake, and the appearance of Moses' hand, and the changing of the water into a blood. Then God gave Moses signs to prove to Moses and the Israelites that God was with Moses. Think about yourself and open your heart before you open your mind and your eyes. Does God really work in your heart miracles every single day? For you to go to work and come back home safely, it is a miracle. It is really a miracle. For you to see the sun rises every morning, it is a miracle. For you to breathe air, it is a miracle. For you to be able even to move your hand, a little move like this, it is a miracle. You want to have a proof? Come with me to visit hospitals and I will show you. People cannot move their hands. For you to go to the bathroom, sorry to say, it is a miracle. See those who have kidney failure and you would know. There are so many miracles for you to see and to hear and to speak and to breathe and to stand up and walk. All of these are miracles. You take it for granted. It is not and should not be taken for granted because we have so many people in hospitals who cannot do it. For you to do it, it is a gift from God, and God make you happy with it because you are his son and daughter. It doesn't mean the other ones are not, but he tests them. He knows they can carry the test and they can go through it. So God can let you go through it out of his love, not to make you feel down, absolutely not. Again, I repeat what I said,
You are the only one who can put himself down and he can put himself up. How can I put myself up all the time? Remember what the Lord said through St. Paul in the Philippians chapter 4. I can do all things again through Christ who strengthened me, who give you power, who give you strength. You have the power that you walk and you can walk by faith, like it says in the second epistle to Corinthians chapter 5, we walk by faith, not by sight. You believe in God, God will work through. If you don't believe in God, God will never do it. So again, to face your failure, all what you do, trust in God and He will take care of it. You put yourself down, that's you in your hand to put yourself up again. It's your hand through your faith in God and you trust that He will take care of you. And glory be to God now and forever. Amen.